thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I have a couple things I just want to share with you tonight. And it's going to be very personal, so I'm not going to go too much into my own personal story, but I just want to paint a background why this message is important to me and why I feel like it's important to us as the body of Christ. Melissa, my wife and I, Melissa, raise your hand right there. Melissa and I were in Israel for 13 years. We went to Israel in 1996, and we were there for 13 years. And during that time, every year the visa thing would come up, and they would, you would never know, were we going to get to stay another year or not. And every year we did. And 1 year turned into 5 years, and 5 years turned into 10 years. And then next thing, we were there for 13 years. And I remember that 12 to 13 year, all of a sudden realizing we've been in Israel a long time. And this concept that maybe this is where the Lord wants us to be for the rest of our lives. And so emotionally, we allowed ourselves to cross the bridge to say, okay, this is where the Lord wants us to be for the rest of our lives. And it's where we began to start making plans to put down some real firm roots. And we were being offered a long-term type of a visa. And in that year, then, everything changed. And at the end of that same year, in 2008, the nation of Israel asked us to leave. They said, you've been here too long, and you have to leave. And they were not going to renew our visas. And we were just one of hundreds of Christians that took place in their lives. But what it did to us was we didn't want to leave. We had just crossed the bridge. Like, we want to be here the rest of our lives. And there we are standing on the other side of the bridge, and they're saying, come back on this side of the bridge. You can't stay. And so that was 4 years ago. We've been back in the United States for 4 years. The last 4 years have been less than pleasant in a lot of ways. God has been with us in a very dramatic way, and he's provided and he's encouraged us. But our hearts, we left our hearts in Israel, you know, in San Francisco. No, it was in Israel. We left them there, and we kept trying to pull them back to be with us, but it was really hard. And just, I don't know, a couple months ago, I had lunch with Pastor Blake, and and over lunch, I'm just telling Blake, I'm dying. I'm still hurting, and there's these seasons, these waves that I go through, and I'm hurting, and I really still wish that we were in Israel or that there was some answers, so I'm being real transparent. And then the Lord just prompted me to go back and to read my journal from that year, 2008. And I started reading my journal, and I just told Melissa this a couple weeks ago, that as I was reading through the journal, I had written in my journal in January, February, March of 2008. We actually were told to leave in November. I'm writing in my journal, I'm tired of being in Israel. I'm tired of not being an American, blah, 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 blah. And then I kind of compared it to my journal now. I'm tired of being in America. I want to be in Israel. Okay, I'm embarrassed to say that, but I'm just being honest. And in that, God did something really amazing in my heart, and I realized I'm not content in where the Lord has me, whether it was there or here. And something's the matter here if I'm not content wherever. So it isn't about Israel. It isn't about being in America. It's what's in my heart. And so that's sort of where we're driving tonight. But before we go too far, how many of you like to watch commercials on TV? Really? Nobody raised their hand. Although there are sometimes, there are these commercials that are worthy of seeing more than once or twice because they're entertainment value. I have a few of those that I want you to watch. And so if you can see from that end of the room, we're going to go ahead and show you a few of these commercials.
We're going to catch anything.
Patience, son.
Ah.
sometimes you can get so much out of so little.
Woohoo!
Especially when it comes to Charmin UltraSoft. Its UltraSoft design is soft and absorbent. It has so much absorbency, you can use 7 sheets versus 28 of the leading value brand. So your family can get more out of less.
Mom's never gonna believe this one.
Charmin UltraSoft. Enjoy the go.
Man, you look exhausted. Your wife kept you up watching Comcast HD again? She's not a rebel, Ted. A lot of people are switching to Comcast. More HD, more HD on demand.
Ready to go, hon?
I don't need you to sell your soul. Just put Zach in the stroller.
More HD. More than satellite. More than anyone. Comcast HD.
We've been conditioned to accept less and less in the name of style and sophistication. But to us, less isn't more. More is more. Abundant space, available leading-edge technology, impeccable design, and more than you've come to expect from a luxury vehicle. The Lexus ES350 and EPA-estimated 40 mpg ES Hybrid. This is the pursuit of perfection.
Who thinks more is better than less? Okay, why?
More is better than less because if stuff is not less, if there's more less stuff, then you might want to have some more and your parents just don't let you because there's only a little bit.
Right.
We want more. We want more. Like, you really like it. You
right.
want more.
I follow you.
It's not complicated. More is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
So did you get the message?
Yeah.
Okay, more. There's a push, a drive, emphasis in our culture that's sometimes subtle, sometimes way not subtle, for more, and we hear it all the time in little ways and in big ways. It's pushed into our faces that we need more speed. We need more money, we need more time, we need more luxury, more megabytes, more absorbency, more than you've come to expect, more connections, more ease of use, and the list goes on and on and on. We need more. And if you're not paying attention, you start to believe, yeah, I do need more. I think I need more something. I'm sure I need more. And as Westerners, as Americans, we've taken this concept to a whole new level and appealing to the desires of our flesh, the desires of our human nature. Our culture, maybe unlike any other time in history, now feeds those desires of the flesh, as perfectly normal. It's seen as something that they're not even embarrassed to say that we're feeding the desires of your flesh. And it's not even abnormal for us to feed the desires of our flesh. It's seen as something that's cool to be super greedy. Like, people that are super greedy are cool. And it's something that's really outstanding if they're really lustful and that they want more and they grab more and they take more. Our culture has said that's okay, and it's all about feeding more of those fleshly desires. And the reason that this happens is because it happens under the banner of happiness, the name of happiness. Because as Americans especially, we're told you need to be happy. You're supposed to be happy. As Americans, you deserve to be happy. And you need to be happy at any cost. Because if you're not happy, something's the matter. If you're not happy, then you need to move things around in your life so that you are happy and so that you're finding happiness in this life. This is the message that you can't be happy if you have less, especially if you have less than you already have now or if you have less than others have now. You can't be happy. And if you can't be happy, then you need more to make you happy. So in the name of happiness, we need more. We need more whatever to be able to be happy. so that we can have the biggest and the fastest and the bestest and the most upgraded, the most luxurious, and then we can be happy. We can't be happy without more, and we have to have more so that we can be happy. We've got to have more so that we can be happy. Are you getting the cycle here? Because as Americans, we're addicted to happiness, because happiness is what it's all about. We are, our day-to-day life is all about happiness. Culturally, we are opposed to anything that doesn't make us happy. Anything that has pain associated with it, we don't want it in our lives. Or anything that has troubles or struggles or makes us work or stress and it's taking away our happiness, then for sure we don't want those things in our lives. And we're going to do whatever we can to remove those things that hassle us and cause problems and make us struggle to find life. Because those things aren't happy things. And we're addicted to happiness in a way that it creates this bad cycle. So I'm not happy, so I need more of something so that I'll be happy. But when I get that other thing, whatever it is, usually 99% of the time, I'm not happier. So then I need more so that I can be happier. And our driving passion for more so that we'll be happy has driven us to overload our lives, to overload our houses. Our houses, as Americans, nobody in this room, I'm sure, our houses are so overfull of stuff that we've bought to make ourselves happy because we were told we weren't happy and we needed more. We're so full that we have to buy storage units to put our stuff into that makes us happy. We don't see it for a year or 2 years or 3 years, but that's the stuff that's making us happy. And storage units, which didn't exist in my lifetime as a child 30 years ago, are everywhere now. Big ones and small ones, around every corner you see a storage unit. It's not particular to Colorado, it's across the nation. But if you go to other nations, Jeff, do you guys have storage units in the UK? Small ones, right. Small ones. We have big ones in the United States because we've overstuffed our houses. We've overstuffed our schedules. As a pastor, I often laugh when somebody, it's not funny, but I laugh. People call, I need to have a counseling appointment with you. I need to see you. Okay, so I pull out the calendar and I start to go through. Can we meet here? No, that's full. How about here? No, I can't. How about over here? No. I can meet you on Saturday morning at 8, between 8 and 8:05, and on Thursday night at 10:30. And I'm exaggerating only a little bit. We've overpacked our schedules to the point where we have no room to move. We have no room to add things. We have no room if God wants to break in and do something amazing and send us on a prayer walk around our neighborhoods. We've overloaded our plates. One of the things that Melissa and I noticed when we came traveling back through the United States from our time in Israel was suddenly the plates got bigger when you would go out to eat, whereas they were kind of like this size when we left. And then when we came back, suddenly there were these huge plates with more food. And as Americans, we stuff our plates full of food, which I'm convinced leads to the obesity levels that we're seeing in the United States. You see cooking channels and cooking shows exponentially growing on the television set. And it's like pop culture to be into food and to eating food. We've overloaded our souls with entertainment. We've said often that coming back to America was like coming back to Disneyland, because everywhere you go, you're entertained. You're standing in the line at the grocery store and there's screens playing videos for you, and you're playing music loud every place that you go. And now people have cell phones and iPads and TVs everywhere. Their screens, we're bombarded with entertainment that we think that we need to be happy because we are Americans. Americans are living at capacity. in most areas of their lives. They're full, full in a very literal way and full in a very figurative way. I would even say that Americans are dangerously full because you reach a limit where you can't capacitate any more, any longer. And yet, in all of that fullness, many people still find themselves, like myself, as I illustrated in the beginning, in a perpetual state of not being satisfied, not being content with what they have, with who and where they are, in spite of everything that we have at our fingertips. And we have some of the most amazing things at our fingertips as Americans. If we want it, we can have it. If we have enough money, we can get it. And it's at our fingertips. We don't have to go very far. The rest of the world truly does not live like that. In spite of having everything at our fingertips, we're still not content, and we're still not happy. Time magazine put out their July summer double issue at the beginning of July, focusing on this idea, the pursuit of happiness. And as you read through the pages, they're talking about what happiness is and what it isn't, and how we view it as Americans, and what causes happiness in our lives, and things that we do to find happiness, and on. It's interesting. Keep in mind, it's Time magazine, okay? So you need to weigh that out. But Time magazine, their poll said that since 1972, about a third of Americans perpetually from 1972 on have described themselves as not happy. In other words, a third have described themselves as very happy. That means two-thirds are not happy. Two-thirds of Americans since 1972 have not been happy. That's a lot of Americans. The number of people who describe themselves as optimistic, that number has plummeted over the last 10 years. At the same time, the number of people who are clinically depressed has risen dramatically. And this has given us an overall sense of discontentment. You feel it everywhere that you go. In your own heart, for sure, and then outside. There's that feeling of nationwide discontent. People deal with their discontent. 25% of women use pills for depression. 5% of men use pills for depression. 50% of Americans use food. They say that they use food as a way to improve their mood. 50% of Americans. Not because they're hungry, but because it's there. Because they're told they need it. And that if they have it, they'll have more and they'll be happy. And so they do it to improve their mood. The self-improvement industry is a $10 billion a year industry in the United States, with books and audiobooks and seminars and workshops and yoga and meditation and life coaches and happiness apps that you can put on your telephones. The amount of money that people are spending, their disposable incomes, has skyrocketed just on trying to find happiness. In fact, the spending is really a window into the soul of the American. Listen to this. We spend close to $25 billion every year on sporting events. Just sporting events, football games, baseball, football games, and so on. We spent in 2012 $118 billion traveling abroad. That's to add excitement to our lives and to find the world and to find ourselves. We spent $11 billion alone, $11 billion on movie tickets. $11 billion. That doesn't sound like much compared to 118, but just check this out. $11 billion is $916 million $12 movie tickets. So if a movie ticket costs $12, almost 1 billion tickets people have bought in America to find happiness. We've spent $140 billion annually on recreational equipment, on top of $200 billion annually every year in electronics. And yet, with all of this spending, Americans still spend a lot of time complaining about what we don't have, complaining about what others have that we don't have, longing for the things that we want, envying those that have it that we don't have. At the same time, complaining about what we do have, that it isn't enough, or that it's not fast enough, or that it doesn't work well, or that we need to put it into the storage unit. So it's interesting to point out right here that God created us with an internal quest for more mode. Okay, so follow that. There's this embedded part in our spirit man that is designed by God to quest for more, to quest for more of Him, to quest for more of God. Said another way, God created our spirit man with a need. God created us to be needy, to need more of Him, to be refreshed, filled up, and fed by God. It's hard for us to imagine that God created us needy in any case, but He did create us with a spirit that has the ability to get hungry, if you will, for food. It's not just our bodies that get hungry. It's not just our physical bodies that get thirsty and hungry and that we need to pay attention to. Our spiritual man has been designed by God to get hungry, and that God wants us to fill with Him. If you were here in church on Sunday morning, Pastor Jeff did a fantastic job painting this picture, describing that vacuum, he called it, inside of our spirits, our hearts, that God created there on purpose, that He wants us to fill with Him. A vacuum that is an empty space inside of us, if you will, that needs to be filled by God. And so he described this picture that we often satisfy that need, that emptiness, that desire, that longing, that hunger inside. We often satisfy it with things that are not God. We often satisfy it with things that our flesh actually likes. And our flesh is working against us here. The flesh part of our creation tries to override our spirit's longing and desire for God, and to satisfy that longing and desire with things that our flesh will find particularly comfortable. Solomon describes it this way as he's describing this whole idea of the flesh and what the flesh wants. He says in Proverbs 27 that death and the grave are never satisfied. And he goes on to say, neither are we. So just like the death and the grave are never satisfied, in other words, people will always continue to die, and death will always be hungering for more dead people, and the grave will always be accepting more dead bodies. And just like that process takes place, neither are we satisfied. He says in the Message version that hell has a voracious appetite. This is the same scripture, just a different version. And lust just never quits. A little later in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, we struggle just to have enough to eat, but we are never satisfied. So in all of our struggling to satisfy our hunger, we're never satisfied. According to the Bible, our flesh will never be satisfied. There's never enough. It will always push and push for more, more, more. And culturally, we have accepted the idea that that's okay. So let's just go for the more, 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 and we'll be happy because we're supposed to be happy because we're Americans. I personally believe in part that this push, this drive of our flesh is really why we have an obesity problem in the United States. Because food is one of the easiest things for people to access. We have it everywhere, and many people are turning to food, 50% of us, to satisfy that internal drive for satisfaction. It reminds me of a recent study that I read about that's entitled Health Benefits of Being Overweight. A new report suggests that being overweight is not as harmful as is commonly believed and actually confers some surprising benefits. Being 5 to 10 pounds overweight could protect people from ailments ranging from tuberculosis to Alzheimer's disease, the research indicates. Those carrying 15 to 25 extra pounds are better able to recover from adverse conditions such as emphysema, pneumonia, and various injuries and infections, states the report. 30 to 40 pounds of flab could help fend off breast cancer, kidney cancer, pancreatic, prostate, and colon cancer. An extra 50 pounds on the scale may improve eyesight, reverse baldness, cure the common cold, and reduce global warming. In general, the report concludes overweight people are happier, more successful in business, smarter, and friendlier. The study was funded in research grant by McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Starbucks, and Krispy Kreme. We laugh, but it's true that food is one of the easiest things for many of us to find and satiate that internal drive. And Pastor Jeff did a great job of describing that on Sunday. We look at it as a way of satiating that internal quest for the things of God. And I would add here, I want to just poke in this very important piece of information. This is why fasting has such a powerful spiritual force and dynamic in our relationship with God, because it separates us for a short period of time from all of these things that we throw into our lives, whether it is food or it's television or it's movies or whatever it is that we shove into our lives. It removes those for a period of time to expose the hunger of our spirits before God. And then we can see with clarity that longing that our spirit man has for God and for the things of God. But it's not always food that we use to fill those longings deep inside of us. We also use entertainment, lots of movies and music everywhere we go now. And it's not uncommon to see people watching movies on their phone as they're walking, listening with their earphones wherever they are, and you're talking to them and they can't hear you. Exciting entertainment. There's Funsville everywhere. Disneyland activity all across America. We use activity. We use busyness. We use spending money, traveling to new places and exciting places. We use other people and relationships to fill that void inside of our hearts. We see lots of drug addiction and alcohol abuse and pornography and internet pornography. As a marriage and family pastor, it is the one thing that I hear consistently from married couples that come into my office, the women complaining about pornography and internet pornography, sexual addictions. And we use our jobs, our careers, our callings to supplement that longing, that desire that our spirits have towards God. As Pastor Jeff said on Sunday, we often use the permissible things, the things that aren't really bad. Food isn't bad in and of itself. And relationships are not bad in and of themselves. And that whole list that we've just read through, they're in and of themselves, they're not bad. But they do lend themselves to being abused and then us using them to supplement for God. God created us with hearts that long for Him. Our spirit man longs for the Lord, and our challenge is giving our spirits a steady diet of God that will sustain us, that will satisfy us, that will give us what is true happiness. But it isn't just feeding our hearts. Our other challenge is watching everything else that we put into our lives that could compete with that longing and would eliminate a relationship with God. Said another way, We need to minimize the junk food in our lives. Check this out. God is speaking to his people in Isaiah, this scripture, Isaiah 55, and this is the Message version. He says, "Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come. Buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love." That's our Creator speaking. And he's giving us an invitation to come and to find the thing that our soul longs for the most, that our hearts were designed to have, and that's him. He has the food because he is the food. David, especially of all people, got this, King David. And if you read through the Psalms over and over and over again, we see David's comments that he articulates his longing, his desire for God. In Psalm 27, he says, "I ask one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple." In Psalm 27:8, a little bit later, he says, "My heart whispered, seek God. My whole being replied, I am seeking him." Psalm 42:1-2, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with God? Hear my cry, O Lord," Psalm 61:1-4. "Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint when I get hungry. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell with you in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Psalm 63, when David was in the desert and he got that picture of the dry, thirsty place, he says, "God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." There he is in the desert, physically thirsty. And he says, "My whole being thirsts for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power." And he goes on. Like David, the people of God cry out for more. We want more, but not the kind of more that we saw in the commercials. We want more. We long for more of God. We see it as a biblical precedence. Men and women going after God with all of their hearts, screaming out his name, pushing through crowds just to touch him, jumping out of trees to be able to follow him, ripping the roofs off of houses to sit at his feet. Unfortunately, many Americans, Christians included, myself included, have satisfied our internal quest with our internal quest for the things of God with the things of this world, with the things of the flesh, that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but we've used them solely to satisfy that longing that God created us to have, to long for him.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.